and God's always there, ready for us to come back to Him. And He guides us and directs our lives. Thank you for that ministry. It's a privilege to be able to be the old guy singing with the young people up here. And it's really a blessing to have Nathan singing with the men as well. And I appreciate the opportunity to sing with him. And this ministry team has just been out on the road for just about a year now. And they're a tremendous blessing. I just, every time I'm with them, I think, wow, just the amount of talent that they have for the Lord and the way they're using it for the Lord. And we have big plans in store for God to continue to use them and to grow our ministry opportunities and our music ministry. Stay tuned. We have a new vocal recording that's coming out in May. May 27th, Lord willing, will be the launch of it, or the release, that's the right word, the release of our new recording that we just mixed. We mixed the final version of it this past week and in Indianapolis, and we're so thankful for the work of these guys. All of them are on that recording, and then many others singing a full choral recording. And I know it'll be a blessing as full orchestra with it as well. And also, please check out that piano recording by Micah Gillespie. You heard him play. That you'll be ministered by his beautiful touch on the piano. We have three amazing pianists right here in this room with this team, and I'm so thankful for them. And then we have my wife too. She's a gifted pianist, and we have the pianist coming out our ears down at Southland. I told them that they need to do a piano quartet recording. How many of you think that'd be really nice? And there's actually some secular groups out there, classical secular groups that are doing big piano things. And the Browns is the one that comes to mind, the piano guys. Some of you maybe have heard of those. They don't do all good music, I will tell you that. But the Browns, there's some really classical stuff that they do that's really cool. And I said, we need to do that sacred. So you guys get that ready, all right? So open your Bibles tonight to Colossians, please, chapter 1. I wanted to say also one thing about the event coming up later this month that, Lord willing, I'll be able to come and be a part of. My brother Matt is currently right now in the air or somewhere between Hong Kong and the United States. And he's supposed to be arriving in Chicago tomorrow sometime. That's a long flight. But anyway, his wife and their other son, Nathan's brother Jonathan, are already here in the States. And they'll all be here as well, along with the rest of the family, Abby and Annie. And Sarah, right, and Zach. They're coming too? Oh, bummer. But so you're right, there's going to be a lot of Herbsters here, but folks, we're going to have a good time, a family reunion at your church, if that's okay. So we're looking forward to that. Most of my family will not be able to be here. Micah even won't be able to be here because they'll be out ministering somewhere else that weekend. And my wife, I don't think, will be able to be here. I'm actually making it just a special trip just to see my brother and to be here for the ordination, because if I didn't come for this, I might not see my brother Matt while he's here in the States. And so we'll look forward to coming back and being a part of that, and really excited about what God's doing in Nathan's life and excited about the ordination. I figure I better get some good questions ready to try to grill him on the council, but no, we won't do that. Look forward to a great time. Thanks for being back tonight. Hope you had a great afternoon. Hope you had a little rest. Hope you can come to each of the services, and every time you come to a service, with an energy to hear the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, I find it interesting that sometimes in our lives we fall asleep or have a tendency to fall asleep in things that are the most important for our life and stay awake for things that really don't matter. I very rarely fall asleep during a sporting event. That sporting events really don't matter, not that they're wrong or anything. I like to watch sports. But I remember falling asleep a lot in class and sometimes in chapel, and especially in college. I just want to encourage you to gear yourself with the passion to hear the Word of God, staying alert, staying in tune with what the Scripture says, and also listening to the Spirit of God as He speaks to our hearts as we just simply try to share the truth of the Word of God. And we're going to the book of Colossians tonight. I love this book. It has the theme of the preeminence of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, I wish that in our world we'd give more preeminence to Jesus Christ. I wish in our country and in our culture we would see more preeminence given to Jesus Christ. I wish even in our churches today that we'd give more preeminence to Jesus Christ. And so what I want to challenge us to do tonight is to be the type of Christian that makes Christ preeminent in our life. And in specific ways, we're going to talk about the idea of walking worthy of the Lord. Let's set the kind of the theme of the book by looking at chapter 1 for just a moment, verse 15 and following, where we see that talked about the preeminence of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, talking about Christ. For by Him, Christ, were all things. Notice how many times he uses the phrase all things. As a matter of fact, to keep us engaged here, when you see the phrase all things, say it with me, all right? Starting in verse 16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You think the phrase all things is important right there? It absolutely is. God is redeeming all things unto Himself, and He's done it through Jesus Christ, as He says there, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. May God help us to rest in the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel that allows us to be redeemed and be a part of the preeminence of Christ. And Paul prays this in other places, in that we would be filled with the fullness of God through Christ. He prays that God's people would be consumed with Jesus Christ. And the text we want to look at for our sermon tonight, our message tonight, is in chapter 1, and it's beginning down in verse 9. We're going to start in verse 9, because what I want you to see is that if we're going to make Christ preeminent in our lives, it's going to show up in our daily endeavors. It's going to show up in our lifestyle. It's going to show up in the way that we talk. It's going to show up in what we watch. It's going to show up in our relationships. It's going to show up in our thinking. It's going to show up in every avenue of our life. Because if He's to be above all things and He's to be preeminent, He is to be preeminent in every area of our life. And I want you to see that Paul prays for this. And what we're looking at is the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the believers at Colossae. And we're beginning in verse 9 where he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Father, tonight, would You speak to our hearts as we just look at this matter of walking worthy of the Lord, making You preeminent in every aspect and area of our lives, mind, emotions, activities, our spiritual life, of course, as well, that You would be all and in all, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. We pray as the Apostle Paul prayed for our own lives and for the lives of these believers here, that we would put this to practice in our life so that You would be seen out of our lives. We pray Your blessing in this time. We pray You'd speak in a powerful way, that You would help us to be convicted of sin and challenged to change, purge us from our apathy and purge us from our lethargy, and help us to be Christians on fire for You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I remember as a kid listening to the Patch the Pirate song. I'm referencing him a lot today, it seems like. He's a great man, and he wrote a lot of really great songs for adults like Rejoice in the Lord, How Can I Fear, and many others, Lord, I Need You, and things like that. But I also remember as a kid listening to some of the crazy, zany kids' songs. And one of those was called Hippo Critter. The Hippo Critter song, which is a cute title, talked about how that your walk needed to match your talk. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than you. Some of you know that. Some of them. See, my kids know that, right? You can't be a hippo critter. And the character was a hippo, so that was kind of neat. You cannot be a hypocrite and say one thing and do the oppositer. My dad used to say that little phrase, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they walk. Now, call me getting old or whatever, but my wife and I love to, when we travel and go to airports or malls or things, we like to just sit down and watch people walk. Watch people walk by. Observe people. You can tell a lot about people by the way that they walk. God Almighty here in this text and all through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase of walking, not as physical walking, but as spiritual walking. God is looking down for us to evidence what we say that we are by the way that we walk. And I want us to see tonight how we can make our walk talk and let our walk do the talk. I want you to notice this is a theme not just here in this first chapter, but look at chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what's the last phrase? So walk ye in Him. If you say that you're a believer, you ought to walk like a believer. All God's people say. You know, there's a lot of people that claim Christianity. There's a lot of people that say they're saved. I was recently talking to a guy and was inviting them to actually this service here tonight. And I was talking to him and I was asking him, this was this afternoon, I was asking him if he was a Christian. And while he was pulling out a cigarette, he said, yes, I'm a Christian. And I was thinking to myself, maybe you are, but you sure need to let your walk talk. I sure hope he comes to the service. Pray for him. His name is Jim, right across the street from Nathan. Happened to be out for just a little walk this afternoon. And happened to be wearing, Kansas Jayhawk shirt while I was walking. It was the only one that I had. If I had a K-State shirt, I might wear it too. Sorry, Pastor, I know I'm in K-State land. And he was actually leaving his house, and he was wearing a Kansas Jayhawk shirt as well. And he actually lives in Manhattan, Kansas. And so he actually waved at me and said, nice shirt. And I said, hey, nice shirt. And we started up a conversation. Pray for him and his wife. And pray that they might come to our service. And we'll make sure to follow up like I told you guys to follow up with Jim. Because he said he might come. He didn't say he might come. He said he would come. How many of you have heard that before, though, right? So we're going to do our best to talk to Jim. And this isn't intended to say anything negative about Jim. But it's really easy to say that you're a Christian. But if you are, according to verse 6 of chapter 2, you better walk like it. You better act like a Christian. Look at chapter 3 and let's see that theme come again in chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, talking about being, verse 6, the children of disobedience. So now he's referencing not the walk of Christ, but now what we used to be. How many of you are glad you're not what you used to be? So we ought not walk like we used to be, children of disobedience. That's what he's saying there. We had a mortified, notice the deeds, therefore the members which are upon the earth. So we should be dealing with the old man on a consistent basis. That's part of our walk. And then I want you to notice in chapter 4 real quick, turn over with me to chapter 4, verse 5. This is a theme that comes up in all the epistles, this idea of walking, and in a spiritual sense. Verse 5 of chapter 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Wow, there's a great preaching text as well, that towards the people that are all around us, we need to walk towards them in a way with wisdom, taking advantage of the time that we have here on earth, and part of that is how we talk and our speech and making sure that it's edifying speech. Isn't it hard to make sure that every word that comes out of our mouth is edifying words? Our words are very, very important. Now flip back to chapter 1. I just wanted you to see that. This is a common thread of the epistle, and it's a common thread of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase 32 times in his epistles. And it's not physical walking, though it's the same word in the Greek. It is obviously relating to our spiritual walk. One commentator by the name of Ray Stedman said, I like I like that figure because a walk, of course, merely consists of two simple steps repeated over and over again. It is not a complicated thing in the same way. The Christian life is a matter of taking two steps, one step after another. And he relates those two steps to further talking about in chapter 3, where put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. Put off and put on. Say them with me. Put off and put on. And maybe that is a good relation to the simple stepping forward that we need every single day. But the point that Paul is praying for is that the people of God would recognize that their walk matters. What they do, where they go, who they're with, their lifestyle choices, it all matters, and that our life should demonstrate that we're consumed with Christ and make it worthy of the Lord. So I want us tonight to see what we need to do to make our life count and let our walk talk. D.L. Moody said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Are you walking around letting your walk do the talk? So if we're going to do this, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 9, he prays for this, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to notice, first of all, that if we're going to let our walk do the talk, we're going to demonstrate Christ in every area of our life filled with the fullness of God, then number one, it must be based on our confidence in God and His Word. Notice he says, filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A consuming focus on God and His Word in our life. The natural practical result of somebody consumed with the will and wisdom of God is that your walk will talk. It's very important. Spurgeon said, not that you might talk, not that you might just sit down and meditate and enjoy yourself, but that you might walk the walk. The purpose of all knowledge is conduct. So when we study the Scripture, when we come to church, when we hear the Scripture sung in music, it's the point of it is not for us to just to say that was good, but to change our life. So all of our walk, lifestyle, choices, everything that's going on in our world and life is centered around the teaching and the truth of the Word of God. Any doctrine that isolates the believer from the needs of the world around them and doesn't allow them to walk and shine their light, it is not a spiritual doctrine at all, Warren Wiersbe said. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. This is super important. It's why it's devastating when we're casting out the Bible out of our culture and the public square and out of our government. They try to steal and snatch even the written statements of Scripture off of the walls of public places, and they try to cover them up in different things. It's devastating because really the Bible is central to all of life and practice. And as Christians, we have to make much of the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but praise the Lord, the Word of the Lord endures forever. They may be able to try to destroy it and take it away, but it cannot be destroyed. It will stand forever. And as God's people, our life, every bit of it, individually, in our marriages, our families, and our choices that we make, needs to be centered around the principles and commands of Scripture. Here in Hebrews chapter 5, I love this text because it helps us to understand that there are what we might call immature Christians versus mature Christians. Now, if I were to ask you in a physical sense, how many of you would like to be called mature, or how many of you would like to be called immature, I think everybody would raise their hand and say, you'd like to be called a mature person, right? You don't want to continue to be a baby all of your life. Ethan is very, very cute, but Ethan needs to grow up, right? I'm glad I'm not a baby, even though babies get coddled and babies get nice things and everybody goes, ooh, ooh, ah, ah. And, you know, that's always funny to me. It's, you know, we're videoing the kid, but we should video the moms and dads as they try to get the kid to make the smiles. It's really funny. Babies need to grow up. You can't stay a baby all of your life. And nobody in here would say, I wish I was just an immature baby. No, you're glad that you've grown up. And some of the kids that are in here, you ought to be wanting to grow up, right? Well, in a spiritual sense, I think it's important for us to see in this text that God calls some people immature, and then He calls others mature. And the difference is what we do with the Bible. and how it affects areas of lifestyle choices, even areas of things that aren't dogmatically stated in Scriptures. Look with me in verse 11 of chapter 5. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when you ought, for a time ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Immature or mature? They're immature still. It's possible to be saved so as by fire and be an immature Christian. That's, you should be at a, that person ought to be at a point where they could teach others, but they're not yet because they're still spiritually immature. Which be the first principles of the oracle of God. Wait a second. So what he's saying there is that you ought to be way past just the basics in your Christian faith. Now the basics are really, really important. But if all you know are the basics and you're not taking the truth of the Word of God and applying it to things that are complicated, then you're still a baby Christian and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The milk being just the core basics. Those things are important. Milk is important for the baby, but the baby needs way more than just milk later on. Are you with me? And so he says here, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That's pretty strong. That's the Christian that's sitting in the pew, but he never takes the word of God to apply outside of just the core stuff. Does that make sense? This is where, you know, people today are saying, well, show me in the Bible where it says I can't do that. Well, there's a lot of things that we shouldn't do that God doesn't say it dogmatically in the Scripture. Did you know that it's a really immature statement to say that? Show me in the Bible where I can't listen to rock and roll music. I've had teenagers tell me that before. I'm like, well, it doesn't say that. Chapter verse doesn't say that. But principles and commands spread out with discernment, you better be able to see that listening to rock and roll music is wrong. And it's okay to actually say that. Okay, thank you, son. Appreciate that. Or like they do in the South, the Southern preachers, they just put their hand behind their ear when they want an amen. I won't do that. But yeah, so that's immature statements to say, well, just show me in the Bible where. Now, we should be able to walk people through the principles and teachings of the Word of God, but if they're looking for a thus saith the Lord about every single right and wrong choice, they're not going to get it. You have to use discernment. That's the mature Christian. Notice he goes on and he says, for everyone, but verse 14, but strong meat, the mature Christian, belongeth to them that are of full age, that could be translated mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. So the more knowledge and strength and wisdom, which he refers to in Colossians chapter 1 that we have, makes us a more discerning Christian. And wisdom is an incredible theme throughout the Scriptures. It's what sent men and women into sinfulness because Adam and Eve chose the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of God. And from there on, it's been a battle of the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom. God wants to give us wisdom. He gives it through the principles of the Word of God. And chapter 5 of Hebrews helps us to understand that we take the principles, commands, and teachings of the Word of God, we let it spread out, and we use our brains. We exercise our senses to discern both good and evil. Every part of our walk, our lifestyle, our being full of the preeminence of Christ is centered around us deliberately discerning what is right and wrong, folks. That is super important in our culture in which we live. You have to think deeply according to the Scriptures about what you're doing, what your choices are. That's why Paul here is praying that they'd be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that they'd be mature Christians. And we base our lifestyle choices all across the board. Everything we do, we base of moral consequence, those choices, we base them centered upon the Word of God. So base your life upon the Word of God. I need God's Word. I need it every day. This is why we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. We need to teach it to our kids. Don't you want your kids to know how to make biblical decisions and have discernment to do the right thing? It's all centered on the teachings of the Word of God. And so that's why it's good that you're in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God. A lot of churches today will meet and they won't even open their Bible. That's not church at all. If you go to a church that doesn't open their Bible, you're in the wrong church. You need to get a place where they're teaching and preaching the Word of God. Base your life on the Word of God. Boy, we could talk more about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. It's above rubies. It's above gold. It's the most important thing that you can have for your life so that you can make wise decisions according to the Word of God. I've always thought, by the way, can you imagine if God had to give us line by line, precept by precept on every choice of right and wrong? Can you imagine how big the Bible would be? He'd have to do that for every culture. No, He gave us something, a more sure word of prophecy. And He gave something that spans all cultures, all generations, and it's still the Word of God. So our walk needs to, if we're going to let our walk talk, we've got to love this book. More and more and more of the Bible. Memorize it, meditate on it. Make decisions based upon the principles of the Word of God. But number two, it goes on in verse 10. We do this, we base our confidence in God and His Word so that, number two, we can walk worthy of the Lord. And this phrase, worthy of the Lord, means to balance the scales. So can I say it this way? We base our life on confidence in God and His Word so that our life balances up the scale in accordance with the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So let's talk about this phrase, walking worthy of the Lord. In a manner worthy, strictly speaking, it means bringing up the other beam of the scale. So picture one of those old scales that you put coins in on one side and you level it out. Well, we need to level out our life in accordance with Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we are living a life that's worthy, that's equivalent to being a proper image bearer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul is praying this. He's praying that your life would emulate Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. 1 John 1:5, if we say we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In Ephesians 4:1 and in other places, we find that we are to walk worthy of the vocation of the Lord. That we are to make sure that our walk is like Christ's walk. Now, years ago, there was a popular little phrase, WWJD. And people were actually putting them on bracelets and T-shirts. And, you know, you'd see it everywhere, WWJD. I found it interesting. One time I saw a camper at camp. And he had a tattoo that said WWJD. And I thought to myself, maybe you should have thought about WWJD before you put the tattoo WWJD on yourself. But anyway, what would Jesus do, right? That's what we have to center our life around, walking like Christ would walk. We don't have to compare our lives with anyone else but Jesus Christ and walking worthy. So as we think about our lifestyle choices and we think about our families and we think about what we want to shine in the world in which we live, we balance our lifestyle up in accordance with Jesus Christ. By the way, how do we know how Jesus would live? The Word of God. So it's based upon the Word of God. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Are you letting your walk talk? Is your life balanced up in an image bearer of Jesus Christ in every way? Now, the next phrase we see here is based on confidence in God and His Word, very crucial, so that our life balances the scale with Christ's likeness, matching our life up with Christ. But notice the next phrase, unto all pleasing. We let our walk talk, and when we do, it brings satisfaction unto all pleasing. Now, how many of you know when you live for God, it brings satisfaction to your own life, right? How many of you know when you obey the Scriptures, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8, that when you meditate upon it and you do the Scriptures, that's how you live a successful life? Aren't you glad that God shows us that? Don't you want to have a life yourself that's pleasing, that's acceptable? But that's not what this, though that's true, that's not what this verse is saying. The verse is saying that you will be pleasing to the Lord, your Creator, your God. You will actually live life the way life was supposed to be lived, and you will please Him in all respects. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. for he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is a thread throughout the New Testament. The motivation, one of the greatest motivations for our life, if not the greatest, is that we ought to want a life that's lived in accordance to Jesus Christ, matching up our life with Christ. And when we do, we ought to want to live a life that pleases our God, that's acceptable to him. I find it interesting that when it's talked about Enoch in Genesis 5, verse 22, and then reiterated in Hebrews chapter 11, it says Enoch was well-pleasing unto God. Enoch, it says, had a testimony before him, before he was taken up, that he was pleasing to God. God took him because his testimony was so pleasing to God. Our testimony should be so pleasing to God that he would be able to say, well done, to the way that we live. And when we match our life up with Christ, it is actually acceptable unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that our surrendered sacrificial life is good and acceptable unto God. Romans chapter 14, verse 18 says, when we avoid causing others to stumble, it is acceptable unto God. Ephesians 5, verse 10, when we separate ourselves from the evil people around us and from evil around us, it is acceptable unto God. When Philippians 4, verse 18, when we bring offerings to God, we give to God sacrificially, it is acceptable to God. Colossians 3, 20, when children obey him, it is acceptable and pleasing unto God. Hebrews chapter 13, when we allow Christ to work out his perfect will in us, we are living a life that's pleasing and acceptable to God. I had a friend who thought he was being theological one time when he told me, the motivation for our life should not be to receive crowns in heaven and to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, we shouldn't be living for the motivation of just pleasing God. I kind of furrowed my brow and I was like, the scriptures talk a lot about living a life acceptable and pleasing to God. I know as a kid, one of the greatest joys of my life was when I did something that my dad thought was good. How many of you remember that? Or when my mom was pleased. And there were even decisions that I would make, even up into my high school and college life, that were not necessarily right and wrong decisions. I made those decisions out of a motivation because I knew my mom and dad would be pleased with my decision. I don't think that was a wrong motivation, and it's not wrong on an earthly sense. It's definitely not wrong to want to please our Creator. I believe it's a fantastic motivation for our life. So are you motivated by wanting to be acceptable to God? Do you want your life to be pleasing? Your testimony to be honored by Almighty God someday? God wants our lives to be pleasing to Him. And this is what the text is saying. And Paul is actually praying that the people would begin to experience this type of a lifestyle, this type of walk, letting their walk talk by basing it in confidence in God and His Word, matching up their life in accordance with Jesus Christ and the way He would live so that God is pleased. In the next phrase, it says, being fruitful in every good work. Now watch this. When you let your walk talk properly, then it brings forth fruit. It spreads out and affects other people. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, we ought to be zealous unto good works. It will cause us to live a life that's filled with good works. Now, you agree with the statement, we are not saved by our good works, right? Amen? But our good works validate our faith. And so when we live the proper way that's pleasing to the Lord, letting our walk talk, then everything we do is going to bear fruit. Your child rearing will bear fruit. Your marriage will bear fruit. Your soul winning endeavors will bear fruit. Your choices of right will bear fruit. When you say no to wrong, it will bear fruit. And it will bear fruit in every good work. You say, wow, it would be nice if I could see that fruit immediately, wouldn't it? Be nice if the first time you ever disciplined your child, it was the only time you ever had to discipline your child, and you never had to again because immediately the fruit came. Wouldn't that be great? It doesn't happen that way. See, we have to do this process over and over again. It's like a cycle of our life. Base your life on the Word of God. Make sure the decision you're making in your lifestyle matches up with the testimony of Jesus Christ. When it does, that choice is going to please God, and that choice is going to be a good work. And it's going to bear fruit. And God will see that. And He'll give prosperity to that way. And we don't have to be necessarily always examining the fruit and trying to find it, because the Bible says, grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. But here's what the text says. That type of a life will bear fruit. And he's praying for that. Why does it need to bear fruit? Because there's many other people that our lives can touch. Many of our good works that can affect other people. And generations to come can be affected by your lifestyle today. So it will bear fruit if we're faithfully letting our walk talk. Can I say this also? If we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk, it bears the fruit in the opposite direction. And don't you want your fruit to bear good work, not negative work? Don't you want your life to not diminish, glorify God, not diminish the glory of God? And so bear fruit by letting your walk talk. And then I want you to see finally what we see here at the end of the text, where we're going to stop at least. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And watch this last phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, verse 11 is a powerful verse which shows us we cannot do this in our own strength. It's strengthened by the might of God. We talked a lot about the power of God, waiting for God, trusting in God this morning, according to His glorious power, patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. We're not going to even get into verse 11 too much. I want to just end with this phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see the circle? Base your life on confidence in God and His Word, and it'll circle all the way around. When you choose right, it will please God, it'll bear fruit, and God will increase you again in more knowledge of and understanding of who He is. Did you see that? He's already prayed once for them to have the knowledge of God, and now He's saying, He's praying that you will increase in the knowledge of God. This is a wonderful experiential knowledge. That basically the more you come to know God and the more you live the way you ought to live to please God, God grows you and you want more of that. And then you do that circle. The more you choose right, the habits begin to form, and before long you find yourself coming to know God even better. At the close of the service, I'll illustrate this more, but have you diminished in your growth? Or are you seeing the process take place, this sanctification process, this walking, putting off, putting on, and daily seeking to live out Christ-likeness so that your life is pleasing and it's bearing fruit? I believe what you'll find is that when you do that, you're going to be the first one down the aisle when God speaks, because you're ready to grow some more and then some more. And you don't want to be continually stuck in the baby immature state, but you want to grow and increase even more in your knowledge of God. Is that the attitude that you have? I think it probably is, because you're here tonight, and I think that's wonderful. But did you know that that process is intentional for your lifestyle choices, your understanding that God is pleased, seeing it bear fruit, then you want to continue to grow more? Let me illustrate it this way as we conclude tonight. I went to the kitchen and I found a few items to help me out. A communion cup right there. Let's just pretend this is when you get saved. God fills you with His love. Hallelujah, right? Do you need to know more stuff about God after you get saved? Yes or no? Yes, but you definitely have Christ, right? You definitely don't want to stay there. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And as you desire, and sometimes even newly saved Christians desire the Word of God more than long-time saved Christians. That's really sad. Because I think, as you see in a moment, that sometimes this illustration would go backward. Right? So the ones that should be way over here are still right here. But what happens is as you get Jesus Christ and you begin to start to know the knowledge of God, you'll go back to church and you'll learn something else. These are stuck now. I'm going to get it out. There we go. Now, that's a little bit bigger, isn't it? That's the next one. By the way, when I drink coffee, it has to be a little bigger than that. Anybody else with me? yet at camp, that's the cups we put out, I think. But anyway. So now you're past, maybe you're growing in Christ a little bit. This cycle's taking place. You're starting to see God really show you His way. You're really studying His Word. You're going to church. You're wanting, maybe as a young child, I was going to Sunday school, and before long, I was learning truths that I needed to learn for my life, and now God's filling me up again. See, He gave us the knowledge of Himself here, but then He gave us some more. More love to Thee, O Christ. More love. Like, we ought to never be satisfied. We ought to always want more. Nearer to the heart of God. We want to be drawing as close to God as we possibly can get. I'm going to talk about that at the very end. Then we get... Wait, which one's bigger? Oh, somebody help me there. It's not going to stay, but you're going to get the picture, okay? Then you get here, and maybe that one's a little bit bigger, isn't it? This is more like a coffee cup size that I would like to have right there. And before long, maybe you've matured in Christ and now you're growing. Okay, so you're here, you have the knowledge of Christ, but you've sought to live for Him and now He fills you up some more. Sorry, He fills you up some more. Don't worry about it. He fills you up some more. Now, this could just keep going, right? And it just keeps going. Picture a 50-gallon drum. It could just keep going and keep going. This is why I love to be around older saints who have been walking with God in this process a lot longer than I have. They're filled with the fullness of God. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but they're way past even this. And I'm like, I want to get there. I want to get there. This is the cycle that I see in my mind here, is that we start with the knowledge of God and we pray for that and we walk with God day in and day out. We make choices in accordance with Christ-likeness. We please the Lord. It's acceptable to Him. He bears fruit through that. And God increases us and grows us and fills us up some more. And we ought to want more and more of that. That's why we're coming to church tonight. It's what that whole process is all about. So that we can know better the simplicity of how to say no to sin and put righteousness into our life. I really believe this. The more we come with this type of an attitude of, Lord, help me to increase in the knowledge of Your will. Help me to have more wisdom. God's not trying to hide the truth from us, folks. He doesn't want us to turn on the TV and wonder if we should watch that or not. He wants us to know what we should do. And we should have the knowledge of enough of the principles and teachings of the Word of God to know what we should and shouldn't watch on TV. That was a southern way of doing it. We should know enough of the Scriptures in our knowledge to know what we should and shouldn't listen to on the radio or on your iTunes or whatever. We should know enough of the Scriptures to know how we should and shouldn't dress. And guess what? The Scriptures teach us that we can get counsel on all these areas too, and maybe go to somebody. So maybe you're here and you know somebody else that's here and you are like, I'm not sure what I should do. Go talk to that guy. Somebody that's been around a little bit longer in their faith. Maybe somebody that's demonstrated the lifestyle choices that are right. And it's always interesting to me, a lot of times when those people give advice to other people, they're like, ah, those people are just old fogies, right? They're just old school. Well, no, maybe they've thought about it. Maybe you need to ask them why they do what they do. All I'm saying is that we ought to want in every way to be so filled with the fullness of God, letting Christ be preeminent. And particularly tonight, I'm talking about our lifestyle choices. Walking away from sinfulness, walking towards righteousness, and having a lifestyle and a testimony that's 100% pleasing to God. Now, I want to say this as we conclude. This takes a lot of work. The walking is a simple process, but it takes a lot of work. We've got to study the Scriptures and know why we believe what we believe. We need to, man, there's things in our world and things in society and things in culture that we ought not just blindly just choose whatever feels good or what we want to do, but we ought to say, what does God want me to do? Sometimes we have to research and go outside of the realm of the Scriptures and understand what that stuff is doing in the world. And sometimes we just say no to it because of what it's doing out in the world, which is obviously anti-God. So we have to just use our thinking, exercise our senses. As we study the Word of God, we principalize the Word of God and we know the commands of Scripture, and we need to be a discerning Christian that seeks to truly let our walk do the talk. So that we're not a hippo critter that says one thing and does the opposite. May God help us to be people that let our walk talk. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? So moment by moment, day by day, choice by choice, where we say no to sin, say yes to righteousness, put off, put on, put off, put on. That's the walking. It's based on the Word of God. Balancing up our life to Christ-likeness. Bring satisfaction to God, bears fruit in your life and the lives of others, and builds your faith, grows you even more. I hope you'll think about that little cycle every time you have a choice of moral consequence before you. Father, speak to our hearts. Challenge us to change. We need to be Christians that are letting our walk talk. Help it to shine in every way out of our life that Christ is preeminent. Help us to get into a pattern of this cycle in our lives. And if we are away from that, Lord, would you help us to come home, as was sung? Help us not to wander far from you, but to get back on track so that our lives are really talking, our walk is doing the talking, not just talking. Help us to not be a hypocrite. Purge that hypocrisy out of our lives and help us to be the real deal tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just quietly stand to our feet. Nobody's looking around. I want to just challenge you to and invite you to respond in your heart. You can respond. I want to encourage you to make public response, to come and kneel. I think that's an important thing to do, but it's not absolutely 100% necessary. I get that. But the decisions that I remember were on bended knee before God. The point is, what decision do you need to make so that you're letting your walk talk? What sin needs to be confessed? What commitment do you need to make so that you are obedient to the truth of the Word of God that we've heard tonight? As the piano begins to play, if God is speaking to your heart, you come. If you're here without Christ, I want to welcome you to come. You cannot make the walk of Christ out of your life on your own. You need Him, strengthened by His might. Pastor's here. I want to encourage you to come. Christian, is your life a living testimony? Are you letting your walk talk?